The Sega Genesis has blast processing. Super Nintendo doesn't.
This is the Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for April 7th, 2015. I'm Scott Duck. Welcome back to the show. Blast processing. I was a lot younger then, and I didn't believe it even. Come on, man. The things we do to sell stuff, to make the other guy look like crap. You know when it worked for him? I guess you got to give credit to Sega, because at the time, people bought that crap. I mean, I had a Genesis. I was all in on the Sega thing. I told myself I preferred it over the SNES. But you know, in retrospect, it was I was being marketed to, and I was being a sucker. I was being a sucker. Doesn't diminish the quality of the machine or the games or any innovations that came from Sega. That stuff is great. Don't get me wrong, but come on now. May as well just admit that we're all idiots if we bought into blast processing. All right, look at this. I picked up Dirt Rally. Which I rally like. I apologize for that. I did, though. I picked it up. I was a huge fan of Dirt 1. Big fan of Dirt 2, as it was called. And Dirt 3 was okay. Dirt 3 left me a little empty. I didn't like how I felt inside after Dirt 3. I feel like they made too many compromises. And they tried to Tony Hawk up that thing. And it didn't need it. And that was unfortunate, but I think Dirt 2 was really good. I think Dirt 1 was a purist's rally game. 2 was more like, all right, we're going to meet you in the middle. 3 was like, eh, we've gone too far the other way. So out of nowhere, with a giant surprise release and announcement, Codemasters launches Dirt Rally on Steam, and they're doing early access. Pricing's like 13-something bucks, I think. Is that right? No, it's 34. I'm sorry. Thinking of something else. And claiming, you know, brand new engine, a return to basics, back to their roots. It doesn't matter. I'm kind of all in on a game like that. There's something about the sloppy technical driving of a rally game when it's done right that I cannot get enough of. Wrecks really mean something. Just deft steering during the most important moments are really important. How you brake, how you slide. Like, it's just, I don't know what to compare it to, but I'm just a giant fan of all the racing games ever made. There's two kinds I like. I like Mario Kart, which is, you know, obviously way over on the unrealistic side. And then I like the dirt games or these kinds of games, which are way, way further on the realistic side. Now, they don't go too far down that road of like, let's make it a simulation. It's more about being a freaking scientist than it is being a gamer. And it's not like that. I mean, you can get in there and not know a lot about how you want your suspension to be or where to, you know, what to do to your drivetrain or all that crap. You can do some of that. That's there. But it also, thankfully, has, like, crew recommendations, so you can just kind of do that stuff, like repairs and things. But the experience of driving itself is just tight and great. And by tight, I mean loose. You're in the gravel, man. You're in a 1968 freaking Cooper, Mini Coupe, going uphill. All a bunch of yucksters on the side of the road going, woo, right? Somewhere in like some African nation somewhere. It's great. I love it. It's good. If you don't like it, tough. If you like it, go get it. Go pick it up. Also picked up on a whim, complete just whim. And again, based on my love of the universe itself, but I love Warhammer 40K's universe. Don't really care for Warhammer proper, like the fantasy one. I like the one that's set 40,000 years in the future, where somehow we're the same, you know, humans versus orcs versus space creatures versus Zerg-like things and all that. Anyway, it's great. Warhammer 40K is great. Always is great. And Regicide launched, again, in early access on Steam. And I was very skeptical going in because essentially it looks like chess. In a lot of ways, it is chess. And it plays a lot like chess. You have a king or, you know, a main unit you're trying to protect. You have a unit that basically behaves like a queen, although it's not always a female. And they have the same move attribute you would in chess. So she can go diagonally on any access or straight ahead. Like she's got the most movement, right? But then your knights, or in this case, these guys with jetpacks, can do these little L shapes, just like you do in chess, right? Three up, one over. Rooks, or in this case, dudes with giant guns and blades on their arms, they can go, you know, what do they do? They can only go up or sideways, right? Not up, but across, you know, they can't go diagonal. And then you get the priest guy. Same thing. Rooks, they all just move up one and can cross kill and all that. So essentially you look at the board and it's like, oh, look at all the humans over here, the Imperium or whatever they're called. And then over on this side, you got the orcs who they just want man flesh, right? So they've got, there they are facing off each other. It's a very nice, nicely rendered, beautiful thing, but it's essentially a chessboard. Where it gets interesting is, I mean, you can play classic mode, which is essentially just chess, okay? Or, at least what they've given so far, the campaign's not done, there's a bunch of stuff. Early access, not finished, but the core gameplay's there. Or you can play what's called regicide, which is the main way you want to play. It's still the same rules, still the same movement conditions, but you have a move phase for every turn. So it's my turn. I say, all right, I want this pawn to move up two spaces. Boop. I do that. Then comes the initiative phase. The initiative phase gives everybody abilities, and the abilities are sort of dependent on your range to enemies or what kind of character you are, and so on. And, you know, so for the pawns, it's like this, just take a shot, essentially use your gun and shoot a dude who's within range. So in normal chess, a pawn couldn't hurt something unless it was diagonal to its left or right, right? Even facing it front on, you couldn't do anything about it. But in this game, if there's something front on or there's a guy eight spaces away or whatever, you can shoot at him. The closer you are, the better chance you are going to have to hit. There's also defensive moves. You can kind of hunker down. Think of it as like overwatching, the Overwatch setting in XCOM or something. Is it called Overwatch in that? Overwatch. Yeah. It's like now that Blizzard has that game coming, I'm confusing the term. But anyway, different guys have different abilities. The queen has these crazy, you know, psionic things they can do. But still limited in the movement phase by chess moves. What makes that interesting is you're basically playing two games. A turn-based strategy where, you know, I can throw a grenade and damage six dudes at the same time. But also, if I happen to be diagonal from something and I'm playing that pawn, I can kill him in one shot just like chess. There's no winning. Even if that's a queen or the most powerful unit on the board standing there, if I diagonal into him, he's toast. He is a dead man or woman. And camera zooms way in. It's super gross, like all bloody. It's great. Just kudos for doing something new, man. Like that is a new, that's a new experience. I've not played that kind of chess game before. And I love turn-based games and I love strategy games. And, you know, what is chess but the first version of that ever? And now they're taking these other conventions of, you know, abilities and powers and whatever and throwing it into the game. It's really cool. And I love it. And I can't wait to play more of it. Let's get into the news. All right. Check this out. You think esports is getting big? This is how you know. When does the gambling business get involved? That's when you know when something's big. For real. So here's the three pronged thing you always know when something's big. Is porn using it? Are video games doing it? And is somehow gambling involved? If one of those three arms are involved in your thing, whether it be the adoption of video standards like VHS over beta, or in video games, the adoption of VR, or the pushing forward of video card technology, video games, or in the case of gambling, is it a fun thing to bet on or not on a wide scale? And the answer is yes. A new platform for esports has launched. It is called Unikrn or Unikrn. It's called UNIKRN. Anyway, new esports venue for people who go to spectate, chat, look up stats, and most importantly, bet on what they're watching. It's also pronounced, by the way, they say it's pronounced unicorn, but come on. That's a terrible spelling. Unikrn is what some people are saying. Anyway, created by ex-Microsoft Ventures general manager Raul Sood And he's partnered with a bunch of people. Like, this isn't like some back alley deal with dark business going on. This is like HP, CBS Interactive, Razer. You know, Razer, they make hardware and stuff. And say this, they say, quote, "It is a safe, legal, and fun arena for anyone to gather game and bet on esports. That is, of course, unless you're in the U.S. That's when things get complicated." So they can do it where it's legal. But in the United States, to take part, you got to have, there's special hoops you got to jump through. It's not technically legal to do this. At least right away. Now, esports are huge around the world in ways that are kind of overwhelming compared to here. Like Korea, that's all they do, man. That's their national sport. If you're in a hospital waiting to hear back if the surgery went well, 9 times out of 10, the television is showing some kind of national StarCraft II competition. That's how it is over there. We're very different than them. But the gambling part is a legal thing, and it'll have to work itself out. But yeah, that's when you know. That's when you know you've made it, baby. You've come a long way, baby. There's a new Assassin's Creed game on its way, and they're going to do the reveal next week. Ubisoft announced the plans to do that yesterday. Maybe it was today. Announced today that they will announce Tuesday, May 12th at 9 a.m. That's Pacific time. So that's 10 a.m. here. I'll have to check it out. According to a tweet they sent out yesterday afternoon, or maybe it was today. I don't have the dates right. The idea that there's a new Assassin's Creed game in the works is not a weird one. Like, no big shocker here. And it's probably the one that's set in London, because they already kind of told us about that. They leaked it or something, didn't? Maybe they didn't mean for it to get out. But the Quebec studio has been working on something. It looks like it's set in Victorian era London. This was leaked right around the time people were slamming the French one that's out now. Unity. How do you say it? Unity, like nudity, or unity, like nudity. this is all on the heels of last month's Assassin's Creed Chronicles. Is that 2.5 dimensional China one? Do you see? I heard that was pretty good. It's always funny how that works, right? Put out a little, like, freebie, and it ends up being better than the main one. GTA 5 is not banning players for using single-player mods. That's good. There was a lot of talk about this. And they've been kind of silent on the matter. They did that patch, which kind of killed mods for a time. We talked about it on here. And now they've issued a statement about Grand Theft Auto on PC, and they're claiming they're not banning players for using single-player mods. Multiplayer is a different animal. Says this, quote, "We always appreciate the creative efforts of the PC community and the mods, and we still fondly remember the awesome zombie invasion mod for the original GTA map mod for GTA 4 PC, among many other classics," they said on their website today. They went on to say, "To be clear, the modding policy in our license has not changed and is the same for GTA 4. So maybe this is all they ever need to say on the subject again. It's so funny on the internet that the minute any rumor flows, it's like a company has to come out and make a statement, or else idiots run wild with it. Dude, we are the loudest bunch of dummies on earth. That's what we'll go down in history for. Just a giant cluster of dumbasses. Sony nailed it, says, this isn't me talking, says ex-CEO John Riccitiello. He said this specifically, "They nailed it with the PS4 and deserve victory over Xbox One," says John Riccitiello. And he went on to criticize Microsoft for what he called unfocused execution of the Xbox One's launch. Wow, dude. He says this, in fact, here's the real quote. "They effing nailed it," he says. Ooh, dropping the old F-bomb. Just... That's a big deal to say that, right? Said this during the GamesBeat Summit, by the way. Quote, "There was a clash of ideas that really separated Sony and Microsoft," according to Riccitiello. "Xbox One and PS4 actually had very similar architecture and were trying to bring to the, or that they were trying to bring to the table, but Microsoft focused a lot on entertainment beyond gaming. Microsoft was trying to compete against Apple. They didn't feel gaming was big enough to justify the pent-up desire to have the recognition they wanted as an innovator." He added that Sony, meanwhile, took a gamer-first approach, and it's paid off. That Microsoft's unfocused execution is the downfall of the Xbox One's lagging behind. So there you go. That's a guy with something to say, right? Got a little. He's got some ideas. Nintendo. Oh, look at this. So I've been arguing for years that Nintendo. You might be familiar with them, Mario and whatnot, right? They are bringing its franchises to Universal theme parks. Now, I've been arguing for years they should be doing some kind of theme park thing, even in just Japan, if they could, that they have enough clout with their character base that they could build an entire theme park around what they do at Nintendo, and people would flock there. I mean, I'd go all the time. What are some of the rides? You'd have a Mario Kart kart racer thing, right? You'd have to have that. You'd have some sort of Legend of Zelda Adventureland thing. It's probably more of a place than a ride, but, you know, they'd have some rides in there too. Ride the Epona across the fields. What's another one? What else you got? You got some kind of Metroid roller coaster. Gotta catch 'em all Pokemon Park. You try to win little stuffed Pokemon. Oh, what's the one where you jump out of planes? Something pilot. Pilot. Air. Ah, what's that called? It was the N64 version. They had it on the SNES, but the N64 version launched with the machine along with Mario 64. What was that called? Time pilot? No. Autopilot? No. Oh, you guys are yelling at your screens. Hold on. Nintendo. Pilot Wings. Jeez, Scott. Come on. Pilot Wings. Yeah, imagine that. Hook you to some straps, you know, jump out of some high thing, try to hit a target. It's just unlimited things they could do. Donkey Kong's petting zoo. Freaking Kirby, your enthusiasm. All right, anyway. Good on Nintendo. Oh, I guess to tell you the details here, they're going to make it a major attraction at Universal theme parks around the world, including here in these states united, featuring Nintendo's most famous characters and games. They did not name any franchises outright, but you got to think Mario, Zelda, and others will be there. I mean, duh. They expect this to be significant, although don't expect it anytime soon. They're only in concept phase, so I'll be old and dead before this happens. Well, maybe not. I don't know. Sounds neat, though. I like it. Nintendo, speaking of Nintendo, Nintendo is profitable again. Full year profitability, actually, and the first time in 4 years. It announced it made 41 billion yen, that's $350 million U.S., profit for the fiscal year ending March 31st. That puts the company into an annual profit mode for the first time in 4 years. It's pretty good. The 3DS family, which include 2DS numbers in there. That stuff reached 8.73 million units. The XL and the 3DS proper, 3DS XL and so on, I've gotten off to a good start. These are the new ones. And in Japan, you got both. Here, you just got the XL. Previous models did not grow as anticipated, they say. Maybe drop the price. Maybe then that would grow. Alpha Sapphire and Super Smash Brothers for 3DS reached 9.94 million units and 6.8 units, respectively. Million units, rather, I should say. They called the growth of those two titles robust and then stared at a banana in their hands. Tamagotchi, or is it Tamagotchi? Tamagotchi Life, isn't that a game? That was that thing, right? Where you could get married and live a life or whatever. It's like, I don't know what you got. Like Animal Crossing for a slightly older set, sort of. Anyway, Mario Kart 7, and I think they didn't mean that. I think they meant 8. Oh, no, 7 on the, I guess 7 would be on the DS, wouldn't it? 3DS. Anyway, Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask 3D. Anyway, those did pretty well. Selling more than 2 million units each. And Wii U sales, interesting, 3.3 million units. Is that correct? That can't be right. That must be just growth in that quarter. 3.38 million, because they're up to like 12 point something million total. They've sold software to the tune of 24.4 million units. So yeah, the numbers on that can't be right. They've screwed that up. Whatever. Mario Kart 8, Super Smash Brothers, Wii U. That stuff did really well. 5 million and 3 million each. Yeah, they sold more Wii U's than 3.38 because you sold more of those two games than you have machines in the wild. Give me a break. That is what we in the industry call a typo. World of Warcraft lost 3 million subscribers in 3 months. That's a million per month. How you like the math on me? Blizzard Entertainment's PC MMO. That's what we're talking about here. World of Warcraft. Remember they had that big jump back up to 10. Everybody was thrilled. Look at this. Warlords of Draenor. We're back, baby. And then the last 3 months, 3 million. 3 million. Let's do a little math. Pulling up my calculator. All right. Look at this. Let's take 3 million. Is that enough zeros? That's 30,000, 30. Nope, that's 3 million. Okay, 3,000,000. Okay, take that times, let's say, an average of $14.99 a month. That is a loss of $449 million. Do I have that right? Oof, that's a lot of revenue per month, assuming that's how much they get per user. Anyway, as part of their earnings report on Wednesday, this is yesterday, for the quarter ending March 31st, World of Warcraft had 7.1 million subscribers. That's down 2.9 million from the 10 million subscribers it had at the end of 2014, right after the launch of Warlords of Draenor. Although subscriber numbers are falling, it still remains the top MMO. I mean, it's still big numbers. It's the lowest they've been, though. They haven't been lower since... I guess the lowest dip in Pandaria. And now this is a new low by some percentage. I don't know, man. It's a challenge. They're in a market that will keep diminishing. MMOs generally are diminishing. I feel like it's a genre on its way down to a very, I don't know, it's less of the blockbuster genre it used to be. And part of that is you just didn't have any room for competition because they dominated so much. They still dominate even with these lower numbers. Like by orders of magnitude. So it's very hard to compete in, and people who do other stuff, it's just slightly different in a lot of ways. And I don't know, it's 10 years. Maybe we need to start assessing whether or not people care about MMOs anymore as much as they do. It's hard to lay this at Blizzard's feet. You can say, oh, it's their fault. Well, sure, but they've got a game they have to maintain for old players, make fresh and fun for new players, try to lure people back. Can't change too much too quickly. Can't not change enough stuff slow enough. You know what I mean? Like, it's a real challenge. People all want to, like, armchair quarterback this from home. The worst Twitter comments ever. They should take the entire team out, fire them, and then hit them with sticks. This is the worst performance ever. It's like, no, it doesn't work that way. You ever had anything in your life that's complicated and you have to figure it out? They're a big company with a lot of money, but they're not gods from the planet Zontar 8. They have to figure this stuff out. And it's hard. I cannot imagine how you address some of these challenges. Sometimes people just get freaking bored. They've been doing the same essential game for 10 years. You expect to have that change in one expansion? I don't know how you expect that. I quite like this expansion, but they're definitely in a lull right now. I don't know, man. I don't know what they do. Trust me on this. This I know. Tomorrow on the instance, 10 a.m., Mountain Time tomorrow, live, or on the, you know, download it later. Theinstance.net for subscription information. I guarantee we'll talk about this at length. There will be plenty to say. Oh, so aside from that, they had some other news from that. Destiny and Hearthstone now have combined 50 million registered players. That's crazy. That's 30 million players for Hearthstone, leaving 20 million for Destiny. This is all Activision numbers as well, obviously, because Blizzard doesn't make Destiny, but they are the parent company of Blizzard Entertainment. The publisher also said the games have driven nearly $1 billion in revenue to date. Those two games specifically. I'm guessing most of that, again, Hearthstone. Like, it's not like Blizzard doesn't have things to do. But you do have to start wondering, seeing this dip and knowing how I know those guys internally and just knowing how smart they are, part of the reason they have branched out and built a bunch of new franchises and a bunch of new games, including Heroes of the Storm, which I freaking love and I'm still playing every day. You know, Hearthstone, very different kind of game. They've got Overwatch on the way. They're diversifying for a very specific reason. They cannot be the World of Warcraft company forever, and I think they know that. These numbers are probably not going to go up in significant ways. They're going to pop up again for the new expansion, then drop again. And the relative drop will probably be similar to this drop, just a little bit lower that time. And then that cycle will continue. They'll serve that base for as long as that base wants to play. But I don't think they can rest on those laurels. And I think that really explains it. I mean, a lot of them want to talk about, and I don't doubt this either, but they want to be creatively challenged. They want to come up with new ideas and spread themselves around. all true, I am sure. But that writing is on the wall, man. It's not today, it's not tomorrow, it's not for a long time, but they have to look at the future like that. And they're very smart to do it. And they're killing it. Those other games, dude. Heroes is so much fun. What else? Call of Duty rose by double-digit percentage during strong sales of Advanced Warfare. It did really well. They didn't do a unit per unit sold number, but it did well. Call of Duty microtransactions were also bright, they say. Quote, helping drive increased engagement and monetization. Boy, this is some business guys on that phone that day. Heroes of the Storm now has 11 million beta signups. That's from keys and account activations. And then Destiny's active players are spending about 3 hours in the game every day on average. I am not doing that. But I am spending a good amount of time in Heroes. And 11 million beta signups sounds about right. They're getting ready for their June launch. And I keep saying, I'm loving every minute of that game. I cannot seem to get sick of it. Ever. Oculus Rift for Xbox One or PS4? Anything is possible, says Oculus VR Vice President Nate Mitchell. He's saying this at the TechCrunch Disrupt Conference in New York City. Great conference, by the way. I've been enjoying that in general. It's about all kinds of tech. But this one's interesting. When asked about the possibility of Microsoft or Sony partnering in some way, and despite the fact that, you know, PlayStation's got their own VR initiative coming, we have, he replied, if he's spoken to either of them. He says, we've talked to everyone. There's a lot of people right now that are interested in the VR space, and we've said many, many times that we're interested in bringing the Rift to as many consoles or platforms as possible. Ultimately, we haven't announced any sort of partnerships to date, but there's always something and always something being explored. Ooh, interesting. Imagine that. What if there was a choice of VR on Sony's platform? What if there was a choice between HoloLens, and which you assume will eventually end up on Xbox One, and a VR helmet thing? What if this is their way of saying, hey, Valve, we see what you're doing over there on PCs. How about we... What if that holy war then drives Valve to also offer... You know, it ultimately comes down to Microsoft and Sony saying, yes, we would like your hardware, please. I'm not so sure Sony will. They've got a lot to lose and win, depending on how things go with Morpheus, leader of the underground. Do you hear me, Zion? Morpheus. Come on, man. Do you guys think that's the final name? I'm, as of yet, unconvinced. Xbox One is getting TV DVR functionality. Well, that's exciting if you like the TV there. Microsoft One is allowing users to watch live TV. That's been a long time thing, but so far they have not had any kind of support for DVR functionality. That is until maybe a future patch. Could be changing. This is all according to Microsoft blogger Paul Thurrott. This year, they're saying, maybe this year. So what do you think about that? Microsoft was asked. They said, we do not comment on rumors or speculation. Boop. End of line. Right? Because they're robots over there. Sega is not doing a booth at E3. They have a huge space. They've always had. They're giving that space up. Oh, that's not good. No more Sonic, no more Total War, no more whatever else. Is that all they do now? Is bad Sonic reboots and the excellent Total War series? That's all they publish now? Oh, man. How far have we come? Gone. Been. You know? Oh, it's sad for me to even say it. Here, listen to this. Sega! Do you remember that? Does that just fill you with nostalgia? It does me. Just a little bit. This is what they said. They're not doing the booth, and they said why. Over the next couple of months, Sega of America is focusing on the restructuring and relocation of Southern California's offices, and we've decided not to attend E3 with our own booth this year. With the majority of our bigger launch titles later in 2015 and 2016, especially those from our AAA studios, Relic Entertainment, this is the company of Heroes people, Sports Interactive, the Football Manager series, and Creative Assembly, who make Total War, we are concentrating on our efforts for some of these major announcements after our relocation. Instead, we will be collaborating with our various business partners for this year's E3. So that means someone has a booth. You might see some Sega games on display there. Like the PC-focused event thing they're doing, I'll bet you see some Total War Warhammer there. If they don't make a war, if they don't make a 40K version of that, we're going to have words. They really hope they sequel that thing with that. I'll be pissed if they don't. Sega paid $26.6 million in January 2013 to buy Relic Entertainment and Company of Heroes franchise from the, remember the THQ bankruptcy? Does that feel like longer ago than 2013? It does to me. Anyway, that's how they ended up with that Total War thing, by the way. That's why they can do that now. Or not Total War, but the Warhammer franchise. As is a reminder, we're actually pretty close. E3 2015 is June 16th through 18th. That's next month in the Los Angeles Big Giant Arena hoo-ha thing, whatever it's called, Convention Center. And we'll learn more then. Won't we? Will we? Can we? Did we? Right, today's calls and emails are all phone calls because there's so many this week. You guys nailed it this week. Man, the calls came in fast and freaking furious. Fast and the Furious in theaters now. No, Furious 7, right? Anyway, let's start with this one and tear through them. Here you go. Something about Skyrim.
Hey, Scott, with all this talk of Skyrim modding, I decided to boot the game up just to play a little bit. That freaking game, man. I played for 7 hours straight, and it felt like an hour or two. I was like, eh, you know, whatever. I'll do this quest. I'll do that quest. And before I knew it, 7 hours was just gone. Like I said, a freaking game. Wow, that was weird.
Don't you... Boo. Yeah, it was weird. Don't you tempt me. Don't you tempt me. Don't you make me gonna go fire that up and start a new character. Be a caster this time or something. Put a bunch of mods in there that I don't have to pay for now because Valve pulled that thing. Don't you tempt me. Skyrim. I do come back to it. It's just that it's that good, man. It's that good. If they don't announce Fallout 4 this year, we need to stage a protest or something.
What games are you looking forward to this year? For me, since a lot of things got canceled, the only one I'm really looking forward to is Batman coming in June.
Not me. I'm looking forward to what, next week or 2 weeks from now? The release of The Witcher 3. Come on now. Get on the stick. Witcher 3 looks amazing. Yeah, that and Batman, they both look good. Before the end of the year, I'm hoping. I can't imagine this gets pushed to 2016. If it does, we are being duped. But No Man's Sky better be out by then. Still don't know a date on that. But I'll assume it is, so I'm going to say that's my most anticipated of the year. Continues to be. Full release of Heroes is a big deal for me. Open beta for Overwatch. These are all PC examples. On the console side, I don't even know, dude. What are we getting? Other than the one you mentioned and the one I mentioned. Yeah, it's kind of a weird year. No Zelda? No, what's Sony's thing they delayed? Uncharted 4? None of that. Ugh.
Hi, Scott. This is Garrison the Tadpool, calling for the Boop Show. I just wanted to say thank you above all else. You've reignited my love for Diablo 3, you've gotten me reinvigorated with WoW, and you've gotten me interested in games I wouldn't have otherwise played. So, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for letting us stay a while and listening to your rumors and scuttlebutt, and keeping us current, you geek. Take it easy, Scott.
I will identify your items for free.
Thank you. That's very nice of you to say. I appreciate that. And Diablo still a threat. Still play that. Still love it. And a new expansion at BlizzCon, I would not say no to that.
Scott, this is Ron from Missouri. Man, Thursday is the end of my work week. I start at roughly 10 in the morning and right around midnight. And Thursday Boop Show is like the last thing I listen to on the last day of my work. So Thursday, when one didn't get posted, believe me, I noticed. But been busy all weekend, so I didn't have time to bitch at you about it or complain about it. So, I wanted to let you know. Yes, I noticed. Very much so. There better be another show this week on this Thursday, damn it. I'm counting on it.
Ooh. Ooh, wow. Okay, so a lot of you sent feedback about this, and I apologize for assuming that many of you just didn't even notice the lack of a show last week on Thursday. Today being a week later. I apologize. Many of you not only noticed, but you all were very nice about how much it means to you. So guess what? Here I am, okay? So calm down. Keep it in your pants. Everything's fine.
Hey, Scott. This is TJ for the Boop Show. How's City Skylines treating you? I love it. I can't get enough of it. Really scratched that SimCity itch that EA absolutely failed to do. Anyway, boop-a-doop-boop.
It's really good. I am playing that too when I can. Not as much as I'd like. It's one that I feel like I need to sit down and really focus on, and I haven't had that time this week, but I'm going to get some time this weekend to play more Skylines and build me a city I can be proud of. I've scrapped and started over a few times because I blow at these games, but I do love them, and I'm getting better. So, yeah, Skylines is what SimCity should have been. Shame on EA for blowing that opportunity, and good for this relatively small developer getting the recognition they clearly deserve. And making a great product. I think it's awesome. So yeah, City Skylines, everybody. It's still a threat.
Guten Tag, Herr Scott. This is for the Boop Show. Two things. First, entirely unacceptable, and I am outraged that you missed Boop on Thursday. Yes. Second, when pronouncing German words, you go with the second letter in the E-I or I-E. That's where you get the sound. So Wolfenstein is Wolfenstein because it's E-I. The second letter makes the sound. If it was i.e., it would be Wolfenstein. And you go by that second letter. Always works. That's all.
Oh, we should call this the Week of German Experts. I got so many emails and so many calls about the German correction or how to say Wolfenstein, Wolfenstein. I'm still not sure. I'm just going to say the way I say it. Castle Wolfenstein. Or is it Stein? That's your calls. Let's wind it down. A little longer today, but I knew it would be with all these calls. Lots of good news. Good stuff. Tried to get through it as fast as I could without, you know, ruining anything. Trying to keep these short, you know, half hour, 40 minutes, whatever. Email us, boopshow@gmail.com. The phone number to leave voicemails at, 801-471-0462. Try not to do it on speaker or on your car phones. Pick it up. Talk to your face with it or use earbuds or something. They just sound better. Keep them short, too. I get like 5-minute calls. I can't play those. But give me like 30 seconds. I'm yours, baby. I'm yours. So, yeah, keep that number. Keep that email handy. You can find us at frogpants.com/boop. You can support us at patreon.com/frogpants. Helps out a lot. Imagine what a buck a month can do. Way more than you think. Very much appreciate those who have already supported. But please do that if you can. That's at patreon.com/boop. That keeps this show, you know, relatively ad-free and, I don't know, free to listen to. That's what you want, right? At Boop Show on Twitter, you can find me at Scott Johnson, and you can also buy cool stuff at the store at frogpants.com/store. That's gonna do it. I think that's it. All right, before I go, I always have music, but before I do that, I want to do a little contest. Between now and next show, email me if you'd like to win the following thing. It is a copy of Deponia on Steam, absolutely for free. I have a code. I will give you that code if you email me and I pick you randomly. So it'll be random picks. Put contest in the subject line. That's a free copy of Deponia. I'm not even sure what this game is. Honestly, I'm sorry. I apologize. I should have checked before we get in here. But I've got a bunch of codes to give away. This is just one of them. We'll start with this one. Absolutely for free on Steam. Doesn't cost you a thing to try to get. So email, put in the subject, contest. And you too could be the big winner. I will not email everyone back to say they won. I will just mention this person's name on the show and email them the code. That will be Monday's show. So watch for that. Free copies of games. That hurts nobody. All right. To leave, I will leave you with a song in your hearts. This is Ghost and Goblins, a remix I found on ocremix.org. It's a trance version of a song featured in that game. It will always stand as the hardest game I've ever played. And I thought we'd give it a little bit of love, a little bit of historic love and devotion to a game that ate a lot of my quarters and made me wonder why the hell I went near that thing. So here it is, a trance remix of Ghosts and Goblins by Artist Unknown, available at ocremix.org. That's going to do it. Thank you all for being here, and I'll see you on Monday.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.